speaking on this program is Roger Comstock.
Welcome to A Shelter in a Time of Storm. I'm glad you could be with us today for this program. This program was originated with the thought in mind of trying to help people who are struggling with the different storms in our lives, and we all have them, and some struggle and some heal very well. So it's our intention to try to help in any way that we can. We've dealt with a lot of different subjects in these programs. If you've watched over the last couple of years, we've dealt with some very difficult issues and some very important issues. And today, as you watch this program, I don't know who's watching. I don't know what your specific needs are. I don't know your exact situation. There may be someone watching today who is dealing with the loss of a loved one, someone very dear to them. There may be someone watching our program today that's working through or in the after effects of a divorce that was unwanted and in the end of their married life. There may be some who are dealing with other situations and like prognosis of serious disease of themselves or maybe a loved one. So I really can't know what your specific situation is. We all have basically one thing in particular for the purpose of our discussion today. We all have one thing in common, and that is that we all have losses in life. And so today we're going to be talking about, and I think some following programs, we're going to be talking about the losses in life, because we all have them, and they are varying degrees, as we'll talk about. But sometimes we don't even recognize the loss. Maybe they're that insignificant, or maybe we just aren't really paying attention, I guess, to the loss. But there are some that struggle with the losses in life. There are other people who seem to just go right along as if nothing bothers them. But that one thing we all have in common is that if you're going to live this life, there will be losses in this life, as I've said, of different degrees and different situations. Loss changes us. It has an effect on us. And again, the degree of that change and the degree of is tied to the degree of the loss and how that's all tied together. And, you know, it's totally up to us how we deal with that, whether we deal with it from a positive approach or from a negative approach. We can use it as a building stone to help us for the future, or we can use it to pull us down and have a weight or an anchor to drag us back, if you will. That's strictly our choosing. No one likes to lose. I enjoy sports, as I suspect many of you do. I'm a Tennessee Volunteer fan. Losing hasn't been fun for these past few seasons. It was a whole lot more fun back a few years ago when we were winning and won a national championship, and even a few years there that we even beat Alabama. Those were fun times. It's not fun to lose in anything. And so those losses do affect us. They don't give trophies for losses. They don't put your name in the newspaper and the headlines in the sports section and so forth for losing like they do for winning. So losing really does hurt. And there's something, I think, in all of us that we want to be winners. One of the joys of being a child of God is knowing that we can always be winners in Jesus Christ. One of my favorite passages is in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and there in verse 14, it talks about a triumphant parade that God always, the text says, the Apostle Paul tells us, that God always leads us in triumphal procession is one translation of that verse. We always win in Jesus Christ. We want to control our lives. We want to be the one in charge of our lives. And loss affects that. It's almost like there's a loss of control, because if we could control it all, there'd be no losses. And yet, sadly, we do have those losses. Sometimes we even blame the one who's suffering the loss. We blame them for their own loss. Sometimes I guess that's accurate. But sometimes, you know, we make statements like, well, She must not have been a very good wife, or her husband wouldn't have left her. Or we might say something to the effect like, well, you know, their children have left the church. They must have done something wrong in rearing their children. And so we blame the people sometimes who are the ones who are suffering. And most of the time that accusation is unjust. We may say something like, well, they let him go from down there at where he worked, so he must not have been a very good employee. We need to re-examine and be careful how we criticize others. That's not something new. In John chapter 9, there was recorded where Jesus healed the blind man. One of the questions asked there was, by the people, they asked, who sinned? Was it him or was it his parents? And so we have this thing in our mind that our negative actions are played out in direct effect in our lives. Sometimes that's true, but not necessarily, always. As Jesus indicated there in John 9, it wasn't him or his parents that the sin wasn't the cause of his blindness. Life is full of losses. Practically every day, I would guess that we experience some kind of loss in our life. Some of us barely even notice those things, and they're shortly forgotten. We go on with life. Others struggle and to deal with those losses and may affect them literally for the rest of their lives. And so I think there's a lesson for us to learn to be maybe a little bit more compassionate, but also to recognize and deal with those losses in our lives. We cannot avoid the losses that come in life. They come in all different shapes and sizes and degrees, and dealing with that loss is really what we need to talk about. It's really the issue involved. Because life is full of losses. In nearly every facet of life, we face loss. In our workplace, in our homes, almost every change that occurs in our life really is accompanied by some sort of a loss. Now, losses are not always negative. Sometimes they're positive things. So we have to deal with them rather individually. And the intensity of the loss is sort of dictated by how replaceable whatever was lost, how replaceable that thing, that object or that situation might be, the value of that loss. We can compare, and you know, some, in one sense, I guess you could say there really is no comparison. Someone may have wrecked a car and totaled the car. Well, that's a great loss to us financially and so forth. But it really doesn't compare to the loss of a child. Or maybe your home was burglarized and there are a lot of losses involved, maybe financially, maybe the things they stole, but there's also a loss of that security, that secure feeling of home, that it's like something has been stolen from you, and that privacy and that security that we felt. But even that loss doesn't compare to the loss, the death of a spouse. And so we have to sort of evaluate those losses. Generally, we lack the skills in dealing with loss because we've never learned. A lot of how we deal with losses comes out of our childhood. And most of us as adults are unskilled and untrained and unlearned about dealing with losses. And so it's hard for us to teach a child how to deal with loss because we don't know how to deal with it, and thus are unable to teach our children. We struggle because we don't know ourselves. There's also an area that I think it needs our attention that's sometimes referred to as compound losses. And what that simply means is there are a number of unresolved losses that sort of are stacked on top of one another. I've known individuals that I've worked with in counseling, in grief counseling, that have had the loss of a loved one. And maybe before they can really work through and deal with the grieving process for that loved one, maybe another one dies and another one. And sometimes there are multiple deaths in a family or among loved ones that make it very difficult to grieve. And so it's important that these stacked losses, that we try to separate them and separate them from one another, maybe categorize them as big losses or lesser losses. But we need to sort of evaluate them and isolate them and deal with them one at a time. It's very difficult, almost impossible, where there are multiple compound losses, particularly serious losses in life. It's very difficult to deal with all of them at one time and throw them all into one bag and deal with it collectively. It just doesn't work generally. So life is sort of a mixing, a blending of the losses and the gains in life. And we determine which of those will it be that define us. Will it be the losses that define us, or will it be the gains, the wins that define us? But loss is also an ingredient in our growth. I think when we understand properly, then those losses in life can be valuable in our future growth. And in the younger years, they can be valuable for our maturing. One of the things in our culture today that somewhat bothers me, I guess maybe I'm a little old-fashioned, probably is the case. But, you know, like, for example, with Little League ball teams, today everybody gets a trophy. With some places they don't even want to keep score. With some, they want every player to play an equal amount of time, no matter whether they're good players or bad players. That they want everything to be equal. And, you know, life just isn't equal. And at some point in our lives, our children, our young children, when they're very young, they need to learn that everything won't come out in their favor. That they won't always be winners. That there'll be losses involved in life. So that ingredient in the growing process is very important. And as we said before, with change, there's almost always the involvement of loss of some kind. If you think of a beautiful rosebud, a rosebud is a very beautiful thing and begins to give off that beautiful fragrance of a rose. But it eventually opens up and blossoms into this beautiful blossom. But you see, the bud is gone. There's a change involved, but there's also the loss. Some people prefer roses in that bud stage. Others want them in the full bloom. But you see, you can't have it both ways. There's the loss of the bud, but the gain of the beautiful blossom. With the seed that we plant in the ground, that seed is it produces a plant, it sprouts, but the seed is gone. It is gone and thus gives way to that sprouting plant. Another example I think of that would be our teeth. As a little child, some of the most difficult time for a parent is when their baby is teething. The pain and the agony and the crying and the discomfort, sometimes illness even, temperature and so forth, with a child as they're teething. But those teeth, they come in and they're there for, what, 3 or 4, maybe 5 years? And those teeth that were so difficult to get begin to fall out to give way to more permanent teeth that will come. And even though that sometimes we tease with our kids and we pull them or try to get them to let us pull them or they pull them themselves, and there's sometimes a little pain, a little crying sometimes involved, but that loss of those baby teeth is quickly forgotten when the new teeth come in. And sadly, that process continues as we get older, and those that were supposed to be permanent teeth, they fall out again, and maybe we end up with dentures. There's another loss, but there's also the gain that maybe the teeth were bad, and now you're able to eat an apple again, maybe with the dentures. So you see, again, with change, there's a loss that takes place. That's maybe a trivial issue. Another example, I think, would be that of a high school student. As they graduate from high school, there's a loss that's involved. They'll lose connection maybe with many of their friends. There's some gains to be had. Obviously, graduating from high school is a good thing. But there's also the loss, you might say, of status. If you were the president of your senior class or the president of the student body, and then you graduate from high school and you go into the college realm and at some of the major universities where there are 20 or 30,000 people on that campus, and you're just a number. You're no longer the top of the class. You're now just one among many. And so, again, with that change, there's a loss, the loss of that status. As we said earlier, I believe that loss is necessary for a good development. Usually we focus on the gains. But there, even with the gains, there usually are losses that are attached. And change sort of mandates that there's a loss involved, almost always. And so, I think of the immigrants to our country, and I know that the illegal immigrants and so forth is a big controversy in our country and has been for some time. But one of the interesting things, and maybe sad things, is those immigrants come into our country, they want their own culture. They don't like change any more than we do, and so they want to keep the things that are their culture, the things that are familiar to them. They don't want all that change, and so they have their own festivals and their own holidays, you might say. They want to keep their language. They hold on to their particular food of whatever ethnic background they might be. And all of that is because they don't like change any more than you and I do. And so we kind of even maybe somewhat resent them not being able to speak our English language, or that they have their own holiday and so forth. And yet they're just trying to hold on and avoid the changes that come. Economically, we deal with change all the time. The price at the gas pump is continually changing, isn't it? And with when that price goes up, there's a loss involved, isn't there? Who would have ever thought we'd be tickled to death to get gas for $2.95? Who would have thought that a few years ago? So even though that change occurs, there's a loss involved. We use a phrase even, that a person loses face. Well, what that means is there's a loss as far as their character. They do something, maybe make some mistake, maybe some silly thing, or maybe some serious thing. And it affects how people look at them and how they view them and how their character is viewed. And we say they lost face with their friends. Obviously, there's a loss involved. Many losses are quite obvious. Certainly, death, maybe a stolen object, a divorce. Those losses are quite obvious, quite prominent. And yet there are some losses that aren't so prominent and so obvious. Like, for example, moving. Even if it's just moving within a community, a lot of things will stay the same, but there will also be some losses involved. The loss maybe of some good neighbors, and maybe the loss of something about that old house that you liked and was particularly helpful to you. One of our children in school is used to getting A's on their report card and they get a B, there's a loss involved, even though it's not earth-shattering generally. There still is a loss involved. If a person gets a promotion in their workplace, there's a loss involved because they may be moved to a different location. Maybe they don't work in the same area with their coworkers that they know well and so forth, and those friendships they've developed. Maybe there's a loss of that relationship too. I remember many years ago when I was in doing construction work, I was sort of, I guess you'd say, promoted to be the foreman on the crew. Well, it changed my relationship with the men that I worked with. It wasn't something I wanted to change, but I was viewed differently because now I wasn't one of the guys anymore. Now I'm in supervision, and they view that differently. There certainly is a loss of health, and pardon the personal references, but as I age, over the last couple of years, I've gone through, I've had a replacement of both of my shoulders. I've not been able to get back to doing some of the things I love to do. That's a loss to me. In the process of those couple of years through surgeries and physical therapy and so forth, I've lost some time there as well. I like to play tennis and I don't move as well now. I'm 2 years older. I'm a few pounds heavier. My feet seem to be glued to the floor, and I just don't move as well as I used to move. So there are some losses involved. But I have two artificial shoulders. I don't have the kind of pain that I used to have. I'm able to do some things now that I didn't used to be able to do. And so with those losses, there is some gain as well. Many of the changes and the losses in life are affected by age. Most everybody can remember their first love, maybe in their early teen years, or maybe even earlier, as they what we used to call puppy love. when and those usually are fond memories. But with that loss of that first love, there was there's also the gain in the maturing process. And we mentioned moving and changing schools and so forth. And maybe the failure to fulfill some dream in your life. One of our sons wanted to be a veterinarian and wasn't able to get into vet school. And so it was very difficult for him at a very difficult time in his life. Failing a grade in school, we used to call it when a student would flunk, we would say. And we even as kids wasn't very nice, but we may even tease that one who was held behind because they weren't able to do the work sufficiently. And that's a hard thing for a child. And sometimes they never, that's never forgotten when a child leaves home to go to college. There's some losses involved along with those gains. They're maturing. They're going on with their life. They're preparing for the rest of their life. And yet there are losses and pain involved. Even when some of those changes are planned, there's still a loss involved, knowing that it's coming and we prepare for it and so forth, but yet there's still a loss involved. Maybe when a college student graduates and moves into the job market, there's a great increase in responsibility and so forth, and there are multiple losses and maybe rejections as they search and search and search for a job in the career of their choice. Maybe in the workplace we fail to get the raise or the promotion that we want, and there's a sense of loss involved. Maybe a loss in business failure. Maybe even a lawsuit that is comes into our lives because of business ventures and so forth. And so there are a lot of losses in life that we sometimes don't recognize. I've mentioned some of those physical losses that come a lot of times with aging. We get a little extra around the middle of our body, and we have to buy new clothes. There's maybe the loss of the strength and muscle toning that we enjoyed in our younger years. Sometimes, as I mentioned a moment ago, in trying to get back to playing tennis, there's a loss of dexterity and the loss of physical movement that used to be just easy and something I enjoyed. And now it seems, as I said a moment ago, it seems as though my feet are stuck to the tennis court, that it seems like I'm unable to move. But they're carrying a little bit more weight, and they're a couple years older. There's the loss of hair. There's the loss of eyesight. And thankfully, there are a lot of surgeries and things that we can do to help our eyes. Another one that's noticeable as we age is the loss of hearing. We never think it's us. We think people just don't talk as loud as they ought to. They maybe not turning the television up as loud as they used to. We never think it's our hearing. And yet there's a lot of difficulty that comes with the loss of hearing. Hearing aids give us are a great blessing to many people, but they're not adequate, and there are some complications that come with those as well. So along with those losses, there are gains, but we need to recognize that how we deal with those is what sort of makes us. We don't, in younger years in life, we don't lose many friends through the elementary school. Occasionally there'll be a friend that will die, but generally we don't have to deal with that as young people. As we get older, it seems as though there are more of those kinds of losses, even to the point that as some who are elderly seem to think that they're the only one left of their generation or of their age, that all of their friends have already passed away. And those losses seem to multiply with age. And we tend to deal with losses better when they're less frequent. And I think part of that goes back to what we were saying before about compounding of the losses. And they get all stacked on top of one another and mixed with one another, and it's hard to separate. When the losses are less frequent, they're easier to keep separate and easier to deal with them effectively. Think of the man who is maybe looking toward retirement in just a couple of years, but the factory where he works closes, where he's worked for 30 years. He doesn't have the skills to go out in the workplace because his skills are sort of antiquated. Everybody needs computer skills now, and they feel like they're not needed anymore. There's that feeling of uselessness. I've been doing some reading about people who are handicapped. And one of the things that I've learned about the handicapped is that these people who really don't see themselves as handicapped, that these people, they realize that this physical body isn't really all that important. I've known some people who have had significant handicaps, as we would call them. I've known some who were blinded late in life. I've known some who were born blind. I've known people who have been confined to wheelchairs for different reasons. I've known people who have lost limbs and so forth, and all of those things that affect us. But it seems to me that those people that we think of as being handicapped, those people who really go on and make something of their lives and really turn that loss, horrible loss, into a gain, are those people that figure out that the physical body really isn't all that important. That as Christians, we ought to understand that. That the spiritual body is much more important. If we would put as much stress on having the fruit of the Spirit in our lives as we do our physical conditioning. If we would practice the Beatitudes as much as we think about our waistline. If we would think about the Christian graces that Peter describes in 2 Peter chapter 1 and what about verse 4 and following. If we would think of those as much as we think about losing our hair or losing our eyesight or turning gray, if we would think of spiritual things with that kind of intensity, we'd be a whole lot better off. The qualities that shape us have nothing to do with the physical body, because what we are is really what we are on the inside. And so, in some form, as we age, all of us will be sort of handicapped at some time and need to make some necessary changes. And it's sort of a sink or swim proposition. You can just lay down and quit, or you can deal with whatever that loss is in any form in our lives. You can deal with that loss, or you can just sort of sink, sort of drown, and make nothing of your life. Loss of health is sometimes a curse, sometimes a blessing. Sometimes it helps us to learn and mature as we go into life. Initially, those losses are pretty bad, we think, but as we learn to live with them and deal with them, they're not that bad really at all. That the spiritual is much more important. Have a great day.